Sat Yoga is the act of awakening from the illusion of being a someone, a bodily being in a world. Awakening to the fact that that projected world is nothing but a dream, which is a play of consciousness within the one mind that remains always alone, supreme, transcendent, unborn, unchanging. And untouched by the illusion of multiplicity. It is the awakening to that timeless presence that is the real self, that is the function of every authentic spiritual tradition. Some of those traditions speak much more clearly, concisely, and accurately than others, but all function to deliver the same message. Let's listen to how it is expressed by the great Chan Master Huangpo once again, and learn from his insights. This is the seventh of the teachings of this collection. The building up of good and evil both involve attachment to form. In other words, the building up of the accumulation of merit or demerit, virtue or sin, both involve attachment to form. So one should not become a capitalist of virtue, of trying to gain the most merit, the most good karma, or avoid the most bad karma, because both involve attachment to form, which itself is karma, and you want to transcend the illusion of karma. Okay. Those who, being attached to form, in other words, believing that you are a body in a world, do evil have to undergo various incarnations unnecessarily. So why do evil? Because the results will never be in your favor, not in the long run. While those who, being attached to form, do good, subject themselves to toil and privation equally to no purpose. So while no doubt it's better to do good than to do evil, but both of them are enslavements to the illusion that you are a formed being in a world of forms. That is what we want to awaken from. In either case, he says, it is better to achieve sudden self-realization and to grasp the fundamental dharma. This dharma is mind, mind with a capital M, beyond which there is no dharma. And this mind is the dharma beyond which there is no mind. Now, this is very deep. What does he mean by mind? He doesn't mean thinking, obviously. He doesn't mean projecting. He doesn't mean beliefs. It doesn't mean concepts. But it must refer to pure presence. And so the dharma is to abide as pure presence. without any conceptualization, because every concept creates an attachment to the referent of that concept, which is always a form, whether it's an objective physical form or a subtle abstract form, but it is always a form. And therefore consciousness becomes enmeshed in an externalized process, whether in the imaginary or the symbolic, but always a process that creates karma or suffering. So mind in itself is not mind, yet neither is it no mind. Okay, mind, capital M mind that he's referring to, that is the Dharma, is pure presence, pure awareness, without conceptualization, without projection, untainted by beliefs, untainted by emotions, untainted by any sense of being a someone, but a presence to the real without an enmeshment in that which is perceived. And so, mind is not mind, because mind, in the way that it is usually referred to, is thinking, chatter, egocentric ideas about how to deal with the situation of being a someone in a world. And so mind, the real mind, the Buddha mind, is not that kind of a mind. But neither is it no mind. Why? Because if you call it no mind, you're still calling it a something. And if mind is a something, then you must be a someone. And there must be a world in which that no mind exists. So he's saying detach from all theoretical conceptualization about mind itself. Since mind is all there is, the mind cannot be understood by itself. It cannot conceptualize itself. It cannot make an object of itself. As soon as you make an object of what you are, you have become a someone, an objective form that is now enmeshed in karma. So to say that mind is no mind implies that there is something that exists. When the truth is nothing exists, because mind is not existent. But if there is conceptualization, if presence is reduced to thought, then the illusion of existence in a world will ensue, and that will bring attachment to form and suffering as a consequence. So he says, what is the solution? Let there be a silent understanding and no more. Silence. Finish with thinking. You understand the situation, you recognize mind, you have a flash of realization that you are a void in which the dream of a world is appearing, but it is only that, and the void that is the aperture that perceives it is not within that world. And then be the silence of pure presence that is actually absence from a world and absence of a world. And in that absence, that is the presence of the fullness of what mind really is, which is God, which is light, which is power, love, bliss. Then in that silence, nothing more is needed to be thought about. So he says, away with all thinking and all explaining. Then we may say that the way of words has been cut off and the movements of the mind eliminated. This mind that does not move, that does not change, that does not think, that does not fall into the illusion of being a someone in a world who has to do something and decide things and make choices and get out of situations and try to find better situations. All of that illusion that comes from the attachment to form, once that is cut off and eliminated, the mind becomes immovable. It becomes a blissful, silent presence that cannot be shaken, that does not change, that is not in time or space. This mind, he says, is the pure Buddha source that is inherent in all beings. It is inherently what you are. So you don't have to find it, you don't have to gain it, you don't have to seek it, you don't have to claim it, you are it. And nothing you can do will make you more it or less it. It is what you are. You can forget about it, you can lose touch with it, you can create concepts that will cause you to forget it and create pain and suffering, but nonetheless, you are inherently nothing but that pure mind. So, he says, this is true of all beings, all wriggling beings possessed of sentient life, and all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. They are all of this one substance. They do not differ. All the objects of form are simply manifestations of the same consciousness. There is not a multiplicity. The dream is a single intelligence, a single whole, a single perfect dream in which all are one, and that oneness is supreme, immovable, and unaffected by change. So, he says, all of these are of one substance and do not differ. There are no differences. There is only the radiance of the sameness, of the purity of the one mind. Differences arise from wrong thinking only. That's all. If you see a difference, it is a wrong thought. It is an inaccurate concept. And these wrong thoughts that lead to the illusion of differences and of time and space and of the processes of life that are composed of birth and aging and death, etc., all of these lead to the creation of all kinds of karma. But none of that karma is real. All of it is simply a projection of the conceptualizing mind. When you stop conceptualizing, you return to the Buddha source that is unaffected by change, because it is unidentified with any form. You are formless. You are unborn, uncreated, and undying. It is the awakening to that truth and nothing else that is yoga. And that truth is available here and now and nowhere and no when else. I'm going to read one more. Our original Buddha nature is, in highest truth, devoid of any atom of objectivity. You can't grasp it. You can't grasp the self as an object. It is void, yet omnipresent, silent, pure. It is glorious and mysterious, peaceful joy. And that is all. Enter deeply into it by awakening to it yourself. That which is before you is it in all its fullness, utterly complete. There is nothing else. Even if you go through all the stages of a bodhisattva's progress toward Buddhahood, one by one, When at last, in a single flash, you attain to full realization, you will only be realizing the Buddha nature which has been with you and been you all the time. And by all the foregoing stages, you will have added to it nothing whatsoever. You will come to look upon all those eons of work and achievement as no better than unreal actions performed in a dream. That is why the Tathagata, which is the name for the Buddha, the one who has come, the one who has gone, said, "I truly attained nothing from complete and unexcelled enlightenment." Attained nothing, because you already are that. There is nothing to attain. And he goes on, Buddha goes on to say, had there been anything attained, the Dipankara Buddha, a previous Buddha, would not have made the prophecy concerning me. In other words, he was predicted to become a Buddha one day. But he also said, this Dharma is completely without distinctions, neither high nor low, and its name is Bodhi. In other words, all of us could be predicted as the Buddha to be, because all of us will be that, because we are that. And it doesn't matter at what moment the popcorn pops, it is always inherently popcorn, as we are inherently Buddhas, because Buddha nature is all there is that you could be. So, it is pure mind, that's Bodhi, which is the source of everything, and which, whether appearing as sentient beings, or as Buddhas, or as rivers and mountains of a world which has form, or as that which is formless, or as penetrating the whole universe, is absolutely without distinctions, there being no such entities as selfness or otherness. So don't worry whether you're in heaven or in hell, whether you're in a good world or a bad world, a world taken over by aliens or a world governed by avatars, it's all the same. There are no differences. And all of it is a dream from which we are only here to awaken to the Buddha nature that is inherent. And now, because of the boiling extremity of the stresses of that illusion, the popcorn will pop. And pop, which is a word for sin, will turn into pure virtue toward pure Buddha nature, pure joyous realization that all of this was a collective dream of our own co-creation as a single intelligence with infinite facets of beauty and creative genius. And all of this will come together as a death and a rebirth in the singularity of reunion as the luminous mind that is always the unchanging and eternal perfection of goodness. And then a new dream will be dreamed, and we'll all appear again seeking the Buddha mind that we are. May you know the peace that comes from detaching from form, from thought, from the illusion of ego, and entering into the deep silence of pure presence. And may you know the deeper peace that comes of realizing the presence as absence of emptiness, of the absolute nothingness of the void, that is completely transcendent of all worlds and all suffering. And may you know the even deeper peace of the unification with the fullness that pervades the emptiness and projects the world as a manifestation of its own reflection, and enter fully into the non-duality of that world that is pure mind and worldlessness, and wordlessly participate joyously in all of the sufferings of that dying world in order to bring rebirth of the beauty of the supreme light and love and infinite intelligence to once again shine in all of its magnificent glory as the creation of a kingdom of God. Stay.